Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Monday noonish here in Pittsburgh in my basement at the bar. Having a little chat with you about what we saw yesterday in the NFL. I guess some things have gotten clearer, some haven't. You know, the AFC North comes to mind as a muddled mess, as well as the AFC South and maybe the West too, but the West is impressive. We're going to talk about a couple of those games. We'll talk a lot about the West, actually, and let's just dig right into that. We are going to talk about four games today. I think most of you probably watched Oakland-Denver. Very impressive performance by the Raiders, and really took it to Denver. And I think we have to mention, you know, Denver's defense was a little depleted, you know, a little depleted, no Talib, but it wasn't like they attacked these corners and threw all over them. They lost Wolf in this game. That was big. I like Sylvester Williams, but he certainly isn't going to make anyone, you know, forget about Vince Wilfork. And I think it might be a decent idea for Denver this offseason to find serious beef in the middle of their defensive line, you know, for these type of games. You know, Oakland's offensive line is not going away. And I think the book is out on the Broncos that the best way to play these guys, like you and I have talked about for a couple weeks now, is, you know, keep their base personnel on the field, keep their two linebackers on the field, and attack them up the middle. And so I think that's an area to worry about. And obviously, the Oakland offensive line was utterly dominant in this game, particularly the left side. Hudson, the center, Penn, the left tackle, and Osemele, who Chris Collinsworth just kept raving about, rightfully so, was a total superstar in this game, too. I mean, that left side of the line, they just kept running it over and over with three backs. And you know, if you just were playing fantasy, you would think Latavius Murray was the star of the show. And, yeah, he ran well. He ran better than – I'm not a big fan of his. And he ran better than his usual, I would say. But, man, it was the line. It was the Hogs that were taking care of business in this game. You know, I was a little concerned early on because Oakland, from a Raiders perspective, because they were really taking it to Denver right out of the gates, and they had to settle for two field goals early on. And I was like, And, you know, but by the halftime, you realized, man, Oakland is running the ball far, far better. They're the much more physical team, that they're going to wear this group down. Obviously, well, I guess it was obvious, but Von Miller was a problem, especially early in this game, screaming off the edge as he always is. Watching Miller and Mack, as we talked about Friday, was highly enjoyable. The Raiders started to use a sixth offensive lineman with more regularity to help with Miller. I think that was a big boost to their game. I think that changed things in their favor a little bit more, and against that wear you down factor. Since we mentioned Mack, I think we have to talk about him because he's playing at an unbelievable level right now. He was as good as the O-line was. He might have been the best player on the field in this game. He was a total superstar for two games in a row after beginning the season sort of, quote, slow. You know, I mean, he wasn't a bad player, that's for sure. But that was something just to talk about, too. I mean, I don't know what more to say about when Denver had the ball. I mean, they were in trouble. They didn't have the ball a lot in this game. This was a time of possession victory for Oakland. And again, just kept wearing them down, wearing them down, wearing them down. What other notes do I have here? We kept running left, more physical team. Denver had zero running game. And obviously that was, you know, a huge, huge key to this game. I keep going back to that. You know, one team was more physical. One team controlled the time of possession. One team ran the ball. One team's offensive line was dominant. The other was not. I guess the thought here with the Broncos is this was not Simeon's fault, but he didn't make anyone around him better. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about him in this game, but I think you have to at least go back to the coaching staff and talk about Lynch, because they don't threaten the entire field in the passing game. I think they become way too easy to defend. Hey, Trevor, if you can beat us to the outside and over the top, great. At least Lynch will threaten you more that way with his arm. I don't know if he's ready or not. He wasn't great in his one showing, but I think it's something you should consider, you know, that the ceiling with Simeon is low, and the defense is a very good one. We know that, but it's not as good as last year, and as I always say, that is a very difficult formula in this league. But get excited about the Raiders. Statement win. Carr played well, but it was the running game and the big boys that won this one.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Another interesting game to discuss is the Lions' overtime victory against the Vikes. The Vikings, a playoff team, they aren't playing like it. They're playing like an average to below average football team. How good are they? I'm not patting myself on the back here, but they were 5-0, and I loved their defense like everyone, and Bradford was playing very, very well at that point. But you heard me say many times, you just can't count on your defense and special teams to score points, to score touchdowns every week. And it's, you know, that just isn't sustainable. And they were plus 11 during that five-game stretch in turnover differential, as well as two defensive scores and two special team scores. You know, four touchdowns from defense special teams in five-game stretch. Of course, that's not going to keep up, but the turnover differential is a hard thing to keep up, too. I mean, look at the Panthers. They were an excellent team last year. The 15-1, they went to Super Bowl. But it was almost a guarantee that they were going to fall back to earth to some degree, because keeping up such an unbelievable plus-minus turnover differential is almost impossible to sustain, you know, for that long. And I think that's what the Vikings are coming around with on, too. I mean, they're plus one since that 5-0 stretch, you know, over three games. So they're, you know, very average. Vikes offense, I mean, we know they have an awful O-line, especially a tackle. Very little running game. But they do have a new coordinator, and it was pretty clear that they were trying to get the ball out much quicker, speed everything up, more up-tempo in general, play faster, but most importantly is get it out of Bradford's hands faster. And honestly, that's the only way this team can play. I mean, if they're going to continue to do seven-step drops, and Bradford doesn't help either because he can hold the ball too long. And he's more designed. I think he could handle either. I mean, he ran up-tempo with Chip Kelly, and, you know, I think he could handle either. And I really like Diggs, and, you know, Thielen's okay, and hey, Laquon Treadwell caught a pass. I mean, that's interesting. Maybe he may factor in some, especially in this quick-hitting attack where he doesn't have to beat vertical, you know, get downfield vertical, quick-hitting throws after the catch. He might, you know, let's not get too crazy, but I've been saying all along, I've been holding out hope for him and Cordarrelle Patterson to come in and add something. Ronnie Hillman kind of added something. He was a little bit of a spark to a dreadful, dreadful running game. I mean, I forget where I read it today or heard it today, but someone said the Vikings, I think it was Mike Sando actually, that the Vikings have the worst combination of offensive linemen and running backs in the league right now. Well, that's pretty tough. that's not good. Yeah, I mean, especially considering, you know, they're not going to blow you away through the air to begin with. I mean, their defense is very, very good, but it's maybe not historically good like we thought it was during that five-game stretch. They're on the field a lot. They are also dealing with some injuries on that side of the ball, too. Again, I like Diggs, but who else? And we have to remember, too, in this game, this was against maybe the worst defense in the league. And I realize Detroit's getting a little healthier, but if this is as easy a matchup as it gets, and this is as good as it gets, I have a hard time backing the Vikes, to say the least. The Lions have trailed. I didn't realize this. I read this today, too. The Lions have trailed in the fourth quarter of every game this season. That's crazy. And they're not a 0 or 1 win team. You know, I mean, Stafford is really gaining a rightful reputation as a fourth quarter comeback guy. And he was, again, terrific in this one when it mattered most. Golden Tate was his play in overtime was the difference, is the story, is the highlights you'll see. But he had a strong game overall, and the last few games he's been coming on. I always thought the beginning of the season was an aberration for him. You know, that he's a good NFL wide receiver that fits his scheme, good after the catch, tough player. I thought one thing that was highly impressive for the Lions was their offensive line. I think their offensive line's coming together. You had never thought that they would have won the battle against the Vikes D-line, but I think they did overall in this one, or at least to a draw. Really good protection. They don't really have a running game. They don't really have a running back. But, you know, Riddick did some things on limited touches. They add Ebron to the mix, too. I think he's been a nice factor for them. A guy like Marvin Jones starting to tail off. But Tate and Ebron are picking it up. Stafford, I'm a big believer in him. There was a section there, though, in the second half where the Lions defense was stalling. And, you know, they're playing the Vikes. I mean, the Vikes are a good defense. And I guess we have to mention the Vikings kicking game too. Blair Walsh is a problem, and it's been, you know, obviously going back to the playoff game last year, it sticks in your head, but is it time to make a change? I don't know that for sure, but I know that their formula of low scoring defense, you can't be bad in the kicking game. You can't be leaving points on the field like they do. And this game maybe goes a lot different. Another game to talk about, Chargers-Titans. Much more high-scoring than I expected. I was thinking 2017, 21-20, something in that neighborhood. Tough, hard-fought game. And I took Tennessee to win it, and I remember talking to you about it on Friday, and I didn't have a great reason why. But Melvin Gordon, I mean, I think we're crazy if we're not believers now. I mean, this guy gets better and better week after week. More and more involved in the passing game. I mean, in a way, the loss of Danny Woodhead has been a gift to Gordon as he's taken over the true every down role, and they didn't have a cluster. He was just a guy anyways. And, you know, Gordon is expanding what he can do as a receiver, but he's a good runner now too, man. And he had a couple big runs when it mattered most. You know he's had speed, but he's very much developed as an NFL player. Patience, knowing when to hit the hole, hitting it hard, you know, realizing that everything can't be an 80-yard run. So he's been a very, very bright spot and living up to first-round status that they use on him. You know, they picked him in the first round. I wouldn't say this was Phillip Rivers' best game. I know he threw two interceptions, but I wouldn't say that he made the killer mistake where the quarterback on the other side made some killer mistakes. And he tore up the blitz, you know, which is huge against the LeBeau defense, obviously. And Rivers is a big-time professional quarterback. Another old man, though, Antonio Gates, he kind of – this was definitely his best game of the year. I looked at him for much of the year and said, okay, Antonio, it's time for you to hang it up. You look like a slow old man. But he played really well, exposed the middle of the field of that defense. Tennessee's not great in that area, but, you know, Gates was Rivers' guy and played well. The rest of receivers were helpful, too. Titans defense, I don't know what really to talk about here. Oh, Jarrell Casey. Jarrell Casey's a superstar, if you don't know who he is. I think we've talked about him before. He's one of the better defensive linemen in the league, highly versatile. You know, I didn't think he'd fit the 3-4, but he fits every – I mean, great players can fit any scheme, and he's a perfect example of that. It's certainly one of the most, maybe the brightest spot about the whole Titans organization. I mean, he's a great player. mentioned Mariota before. He's a fumbler. He needs to work on that. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how you fix that, but he fumbles too often. I mean, sometimes we get blasted and the ball comes out, or maybe his hands aren't as strong as the next guy. I don't know. He's a fumbler, and he's had kind of been the case this year. Too many key interceptions, bad plays, fumbles, and that again was the case. And again, that doesn't really scare me long term for him. I think he'll get those things ironed out. He hasn't played a ton of snaps in this league, obviously. He also had some good points. You know, he played well in the red zone. He had a great throw to Delanie Walker for a touchdown. But the key really in this game was there was two defensive scores for San Diego. Obviously, that's massive. And without that, and you know, some of it's all Mariota to some degree, this game goes differently, and maybe Tennessee wins it, probably do. And also, Derrick Henry was injured in warm-ups, and it wasn't that Murray was bad, and the Chargers have gone a long way to boost their run defense from a year ago, and it was one of the worst in the league. But San Diego, and getting back to Gordon, the original conversation we had here was San Diego ran the ball way better. You know, I mean, so this game to me, Rivers did, you know, Rivers outplayed Mariota, especially in terms of less negative plays. Gordon and their running game greatly outplayed the Titans running game, although that wasn't an awful showing at all by Tennessee. And then the two defensive scores, and I mean, that's pretty easy to add up. Lastly, Steelers lose in Baltimore. Really amongst the worst offensive performances I've seen all year or in the history of the Steelers for three quarters. I mean, in that regard, this loss was more disheartening than the Eagles won or Miami. I mean, total ineptitude on offense for a large portion of the game. I mean, they had nine three and outs. So let's talk about the Ravens defense first. First of all, it's a good group. Brandon Williams, Jernigan, two very different defensive tackle types, are very good young players. Mosley behind them had a really big game. He's a very good player. Weddle's been a nice addition. They stopped the run, and they've been doing that basically against everyone. I thought the Steelers would throw on them, and they didn't, to say the least. And Roethlisberger was terrible for, again, three quarters. And then the team woke up, and everybody hit their rhythm, and they're moving the ball, but it was too little, too late. A ton of penalties for the Steelers. And again, does this go back to the whole Tomlin losing on the road to teams with a losing record? They haven't won in Baltimore since 2012. Obviously, two huge plays were the difference in this game, because it wasn't like the Ravens' offense was good. I mean, Flacco did not play well. They had no running game either. I mean, I hate to say this about the Ravens, but every game is a yucky, ugly game for Baltimore. And sometimes they come up on top, sometimes they come up on the bottom. And that's why they're 4-4, and they're like the definition of a 4-4 team to me. And it's never, boy, that was a well-played, enjoyable game. It's always yucky and, you know, not like good quarterback play on either side. Every game's like that for 2 years. Anyways, but two huge plays with a difference. The blocked punt, the scoop and score after that, I mean, that was gigantic. And, of course, the Mike Wallace 90-some yard catch and run where he just, you know, Mike Mitchell misses a tackle and he's gone. Other than that, both defenses played really well. Both quarterbacks did not. This doesn't, you know, I'm not trying to pump the Steelers' tires at all, but I think if the game goes, if there's 10 more minutes on the clock, they probably win it. I mean, when they finally got in their rhythm and started to play like they can in the fourth quarter, they were very, very good. Although there was a lot of drops still. I mean, so even when Ben got hot, the team was letting him down. Coates dropped a touchdown. He drops a lot of passes. A couple other notes here. Again, the Ravens' defense was excellent, especially through the first three quarters, especially versus the run. And I think that will be the case for them going forward. I think it's a good D. Antonio Brown's doubled like crazy. I think he's getting more of that attention than ever, and the other guys are not stepping up, including and maybe especially Roethlisberger. Saw a little bit more of Kenneth Dixon. I'm excited about that, but again, there was nowhere really to run. Ryan Shazier's coming back, I thought made a big difference for the Steeler offense or Steeler defense. And if you remember, I mean, when Shazier and Mosley were drafted, that's when the Steeler-Ravens rivalry was really at its best, and they were picked like just a couple picks from, you know, away from each other, and they both really have played well. Some up and downs for their career. Mosley had a down year last year. Shazier's more of a boom or bust when healthy type player, but it was good to see both those guys at their best at the same time on the field. Ronnie Stanley had a long game. He's just coming back from injury. I think he'll be fine, but James Harrison beat up on him a little bit or quite a bit. I don't know what else. Oh, the boss. it's almost humor. Humor. I mean, it's almost funny. Humor, whatever. Worst onside attempt kick in the history of the world. He does that behind the back kick that I've seen work. I mean, I'm not saying that's a terrible idea, but the execution was the ball went like a foot, and then he blasts it because he was pissed and should have been. I mean, it was just kind of the fitting end. Fitting mistake to sum up the Steelers' day. Like I said, they've won in 2012. Both these teams are now 4-4, with the Bengals sitting at 3-4-1 in a division that's a bit of a letdown. Obviously, right now, the Ravens have the tiebreaker over the Steelers at the top of the division. Both at 500. Another ugly Ravens game, but they really needed this one. You know, they were losing four in a row going into this game. Well, and they had a bye, and a much-needed bye. But if they lose this game and go down two games with the Steelers, then I think it's curtains for the Ravens, where now they're in decent shape. I mean, they have a tough second half of the schedule, and they're going to have to continue to play these type of games, but that's what they do, and they win on special teams. They have good coaching. Flacco needs to step up for sure, but the defense is legit. All right. We're going to talk about some more games tomorrow. That's going to do it for today. Have a wonderful time. Adios.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.